The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I have a lot of friends, a lot of associates, people that I know, kinfolk. I've got more cousins than you can imagine. My mother was one of 9 children. My dad was one of 11. So I've got kinfolk. But I said all that to say this, but two of my favorite people are sitting here. They're a joy. They labor in the kingdom. They do so much. They're unseen heroes in our community for what they do to make this St. Tammany Parish a great place to live. So we're so thankful that you two guys are here. But David and Grace are newlyweds. How long have y'all been married now? 3 years. Oh, my gosh. This Tuesday will be 3. An SMA. And y'all are coming there. Well, of course. Yeah. In case you don't know it, the Slidell Ministers Association, they came separately. I don't think y'all knew each other. And they met, and love showed up. And after a while of dating, they decided to get together in holy matrimony and were married in 3 years this coming Tuesday. Wow, that's amazing. So, they're a joy, I'll tell you. But they're not here to talk about their wedding, but you can talk about it if you want. But they are also missionaries to Uganda in Africa. They both had that in their hearts before they met. And together they wanted to do this great work. You've been there 3 years, right? But this is your third trip. And they just got back. And I asked them to come and to tell us about the trip, to preach, minister, just do whatever they feel led of the Lord. So I want you to give a nice welcome to David and Grace Ziegler.
Thank you, Pastor. And it's indeed a wonderful time. I'll keep this one. And keep this one for Grace in a few minutes. Yes. It's a little darker than green, the color, but we'll go for it. Sure. Thank you. Well, it is indeed a blessing to be back again with your pastors, your wonderful St. Angelo pastors, as well as the church body. And thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your prayers. Wow, we feel your prayers. We wouldn't be able to operate without your prayers. We know that. What a great day it is. I am Dave, my wife Grace Ziegler, and yes, we'll be married 3 years coming up here on Tuesday. And let's say that thank God for 3 years. And wow, that's a story in itself, but it is truly a blessing to be here. I want to give a little background as to our travels before we show a short 5-minute video that Grace put together so wonderfully about this last journey that we had to Uganda, Africa. We do missions work in Uganda. We're also chaplains here with St. Tammany Coroner's Office and enjoying that, as well as doing a few other things in the community, mainly working with reconciliation, because we are all ministers of reconciliation. And sometimes he pinpoints us to do certain things in the community. He lays it on our hearts and has been grooming us for these things, and then we go forth. And thank God for that. Amen. I want to say something to you today concerning a wonderful man of God that went home to be with the Lord yesterday. Many of you may not know this, but maybe you do. The evangelist, German evangelist to Africa, Reinhard Bonnke, passed away yesterday. And the news got out yesterday, because it's so easy to find out news these days. Many of you probably have known of Reinhard Bonnke, but He has personally been, wow, one of our most strongest, I guess you could say, mentors, even though he never really spoke into our lives, but his life was enough for us to absorb into ours. I know that the work that we do in Uganda is partly to, we have to give honor to Reinhard Bonnke for what we get to do in Uganda, and really the whole continent of Africa. Sometimes we'll go to places and we'll know that the gospel has been presented there, and that opens the door for us to come. Amazing how one man's vision has helped change a continent. Truly amazing. He was 79 years old, born and raised in Germany, received the call at a young age to go and to minister in Africa. He was in Uganda specifically as well, back in the 80s. I remember him also one day in New Orleans when he came back in 1987. And I was a part of the Word of Faith Church. We helped host what was called the North American Congress of the Holy Spirit. And it was a time where different denominations were coming together in the United States, and they were going to break denominational barriers and come together. And theologians from all over the United States came together back then and met at the Superdome. Some of you may have remembered this. Well, Reinhard Bonnke spoke the last night of that week-long seminar. And he preached, and they didn't think he was going to do what he did. He got up and he preached the gospel. There were about 40,000 people there that night. And 10,000 stood for salvation. What was amazing was that these were all leaders, Christian leaders from America, meeting together in the New Orleans Superdome. But yet many had not been born again. And he said, let me say this again. I can't believe my eyes. He goes, I'm asking that if you have never been born again to stand. And he said it a second time, and that's when about 10,000 people stood there that night. I don't know if we remember, but I remember that night. I was helping usher in the Superdome, and then I was asked to come down and to help people and to pray with people and to actually catch people as they were laying hands upon people. I went down on the stage that night, was able to stand next to the evangelist as he prayed for a lady that had been blind in one eye and was miraculously healed that night. Then other things took place, which always happen in Reinhard Bonnke's meetings, and that is that people were delivered from demons. That took place. And wouldn't you know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord goes with the preaching of the gospel, there's deliverance that takes place. We experienced it this time again while in Uganda. So, my heart grieves a little bit this morning as I'm thinking about it. We read his autobiography just this past last year. It was a book about this thick. It took us a couple months to read it. It was 700 something pages. As to the many exploits and how God used him. And each one we read, our faith was built higher and higher. So my heart's grieving a little bit today. I know that it's a part of me went home to be with the Lord. Just like my actual father passed away 4 months ago as well. So I'm not bringing gloom and doom to you today. I'm rejoicing with the saints that have gone home in Jesus. Isn't it amazing? As we were listening to the playing of just this simple music in the background about the old rugged cross, I remember my dad playing the piano for so many weddings and funerals as a child. And now, finally, thank God we got him and Mom into the recording studio before he passed so that he could make a recording. We used that for his funeral back in July. And it was amazing how one of my cousins was leading music, and he said, well, Charles isn't with us anymore. He used to play music, and now he's not with us. And I said, wait, hold on. I said, he can be with us. We'll play the music that he recorded, and we'll sing along to those songs that he put on that CD. And so we got to have him with us at his own funeral. in the background playing music, and we were able to worship. So what a blessing it is. I tell you, a lot of people have passed in 2019. I'm looking back and I'm going, oh, wow. But so many of them were saints, and they went to be home with the Lord. Amen? Okay. Well, praise God. Again, this is our actual fourth visit to Uganda since 2017. I'll say one more thing about our brother Reinhardt. While we were in Africa, our first visit, second visit, while we were there in Uganda, Reinhardt Bunke preached his last message in Nigeria on the other side of the continent while we are in Uganda. And he spoke, and they said that the crowds were 1.7 million people gathered all together at one time. The largest gathering of people together at one time that is recorded, other than the scriptures, when Israel gathered together. And that was our first, actually our second trip to Uganda, and it was Reinhardt Bunke's last speaking to the quote, the people. Over 75 million people come to Christ because of Reinhardt Bunke's ministry throughout all the years. Amen. Now Daniel Kalenda is his successor, and he is an amazing man to take his place and has been put in to preach the gospel to take Africa again. So, praise God. Amen. There he is. And we thank the Lord for his life. In our travels, again, we thank you for your support financially as well as prayer support. And it's always wonderful to receive the prayer support because that boosts anything that takes place. So we're grateful today. We're going to show a small video. We have gained many friends since our first trips into Uganda. Many ministry opportunities, but great friends. What I'm learning is that missions is all about relationship. It's about the people you meet when you get there. It's about the adventure, which is not predictable, but how adventurous it really is and how fun it really is. You know, our life in Christianity was meant to be. We were never meant to live a dull life. Wow, we were never meant to live a life of drudgery, but an exciting life. And it seems that ever since we've stepped foot on that soil, life has changed for us. It's going to be testimony day as far as we're concerned. Grace has a few things to say from the Word. But wow, what an amazing time that we were able to have. So,
yeah.
We want to share a couple of the testimonies that we saw up on the screen and be a little bit more defined as to what took place.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say, wow, the Ugandan people are so loving.
Mm-hmm.
It makes ministry easy.
Yes, it does.
And yes, we come against spiritual strongholds like mm-hmm. witchcraft. Mm-hmm. But you know, we can love people even through that.
Oh, yes.
We rebuke the devil out of the lives of people, but we love those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see how when someone is delivered from demonic activity, just how amazing it is if they are willing to accept Christ mm-hmm. after they come out of a time of being delivered
yes.
from the demonic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'll give that story since I'm on it.
Okay.
This one particular night, we were going into one of the villages that we were going to conduct few days of conference and crusade. The name of the village was called Bukomansimbi. And as we went to the church, we were meeting with those that were praying beforehand. And we approached the church. It was at night. There was, wow, it was so dark this particular night. There was no electricity except for solar-powered lights, no running water. It was very primitive, but that's where we want to go. We want to go into the areas where people aren't reached.
Mm-hmm.
these areas that are way off and remote. So we went to this one place, and there was a pastor who had never had a Caucasian come into his village before. So we were the first Caucasian people to ever visit this village. They prayed for this, that someone would come from the West, and so we were their first answer to prayer. What took place that particular night, though, while they were praying for the next series of days, was that they brought for us this young man up here named Sandy. And Sandy said that he was having demonic issues take place in his life, and he couldn't sleep at night, and that because he involved himself in witchcraft, that it came in and it affected his life, and he was married, his wife, and his kids. And so the pastor said, well, you need to become born again. And so he came and stood before me, and the pastor couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Lugandan. But anyway, we finally got it connected, and we found out that this man had a demon, and he had demon activity. And we said, well, let's kneel down right here. We sat down. We knelt on the ground, and I said, Jesus Christ will deliver and break these chains, but you have to believe that he is the Savior of the world and that he can change you. That's right. And that this thing can take place and that you can be delivered from demons. So we began to pray. He asked Christ into his heart out there in the dark of night while the lights were shining. And after we had prayed a prayer, and he received Christ into his life. And then the next series of days, we began to see a smile return to his face.
As he worshiped.
As he worshiped.
As he worshiped. Because we were praying, you know, because we weren't seeing that countenance change that you want to see when someone comes to Christ. And so we were praying, Lord, let us see the countenance change so we'll know that it really took place in his heart. And we were in the day conference, and he began to worship. And as he was worshiping, the countenance began to change. And more healing, more deliverance was still being manifested.
Right.
Yes.
And then, at a particular night crusade, he wanted to give his testimony. And so, as pastors do, and as speakers do, we kind of sometimes go on and on. And he got so excited, and he says, Pastor, stop. I want to give my testimony. Will you please stop so that I can tell the people as to how I received Christ and have been delivered from demons. So he was able to get up and share it. And then as you could see up there, he had some potions and some witchcraft paraphernalia. We burned it right there, right after that actual crusade that particular night. Mm-hmm. That's what they do in the Bonnke Crusades, by the way. They would burn items. They would bring people's witchcraft books and potions and things that they were dealing with witchcraft, and they would burn those items.
That's right.
But that was an amazing event that took place. You want to discuss?
Tell me about the man.
Yeah.
All right. So the elderly man that you saw being healed was another wonderful, wonderful story. In crusades, a conference will last all day, and you have many people to come up and preach, one right after another. And so it was my turn to preach, and while I was preaching up the main aisle, I see two men carrying this elderly man on his mat. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what is this about? And so they brought him in, and they laid him down on my left side here. And so I was still in the middle of my message, and so I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do I stop the message and lay hands and pray for this man? Do I keep on preaching? What do I do? And I felt like the Lord told me, keep on preaching. Dave's going to take this.
Yes.
Everybody laughs when I say that. But it was for Dave to lead. And so I continued my message. When I finished my message, it was Dave's turn to get up and preach. But I knew what his message was on. It was on healing. He was going to preach. The Lord had given him, I think you even switched your message.
Right.
This village was way out, so we had to ride for quite a while to get to the village that morning. And he was steadily in the Word, and he was studying about the lame man who was came in from the roof, okay? And so I knew that's what he was preaching on. And when he saw the lame man,
yes,
he began to know what he goes, oh, he saw what God was doing. How can I get up and preach about Jesus healing a lame man if I don't pray for the lame man that's been laid before me. No pressure, right?
No pressure, just obvious, right?
But I know we all believe that God can heal. We've seen him heal. We've experienced healings. But it takes another measure of faith to pray and believe for that kind of miracle, not because you don't think God can do it. It's, will he do it? Will it be received? Will it happen? You don't want to give anybody false hope. And so, but we knew there was too much there together. He had to do it. And he preached the message, and I'm over on this side watching, and there's tents there, tents across here of people. And then I begin to hear him as he's preaching. Now I'm also noticing with a new authority. I'm noticing a deeper anointing that's come upon him. And I'm thinking, oh, something big's getting ready to happen. So he began to preach. He's preaching with power and authority. And then I hear him say, all right, now I've preached on a man being healed. Let's begin to exercise our faith. Every one of you, begin to exercise your faith up here. We're going to pray for this man. And he went over to the man, and he's asking him, do you want to be healed? And so Dave was like a cheerleader cheering everybody on. Come on, get the faith, get faith. Faith in Christ. Do we believe he can heal? Do we believe he can heal? And so then he and I went over. We laid hands on him. We anointed him with oil. We began to pray. All of the believers in the congregation, and there was about 250 that had gathered that day, they all come forward to gather in prayer, and everybody is focused on this man, praying for his healing. And this went on for a very long time. We were in, it was outdoors, but yet there was a brick wall that went up with these areas that were going to be windows one day. And villagers were coming to see what was all the commotion that they could hear throughout the village. Villagers were coming, peering into the holes so they could see what was happening. And it was amazing. So the man, God did heal the man. Now he did not walk, but he was able to sit in a chair for the first time in 17 years. Yeah. He had been on a mat on the ground for 17 years. And this little village has a tendency, they get two rainy seasons a year. It has a tendency to flood. And the next day, the man came all dressed in his suit and everything, as you saw, to give his testimony. And they put him in his chair. They wrapped up his mat underneath his feet. Well, it began to storm outside, and we were outside at first, and it began to storm. This is after they brought us inside because the water, people were standing in water to their ankles, but the service never stopped. It just kept on going. They were praising and worshiping in the rain. The tents were going to cave in. I got videos of them pushing the water so the tents wouldn't cave in, and it was amazing. But the man then gave testimony, and his testimony was that, and we have that on video, but without the interpreter, you won't know what it's being said. He said that God had healed him. He had been on the floor for 17 years, and he said, had it not been for the healing, I would be laying in the water out there like I had been doing. He said, but here I am in a chair, and I'm dry. And so God just did great, miraculous things. And they are so grateful when God moves on their behalf. And it was wonderful. Now, the other thing about this man is this, and we don't know what God's going to do there. His daughter is a parliamentary minister, which is equivalent to a senator. It's like what our senators are. And so she is, in with the presidency in the capital city. She cares for all of his needs. And he has requested that she move him to Masaka, which is a couple of hours away. He wants her to move him to Masaka near the church where Pastor Sam and our evangelistic team is, because he wants them to pray for him till he's healed all the way and he can walk. And he is believing for that. And we believe it will happen. We believe it will happen. So, you know, pray for that.
There are other testimonies that have taken place as well. We here have been given prophetic words from other people in churches here locally in Slidell that when we go to Uganda, that we would have opportunity to come into the company of high officials in government. And it seems that every visit we go, that takes place. This time, wow, we had opportunity to meet up with some spiritual leaders that actually go to the president and that are his advisors. So we did this one crusade on the weekend in Bukamansimbi, and while that was taking place, one of these ministers named Dr. Joseph Sawada, who was up there, was doing a crusade in the town where we actually stay when we go to, and was called Masaka. And so here come many of the people of the city, along with the churches, mainly born-again churches, which they call them born-again churches, the ones that truly believe Christ and are following in the ways of the kingdom. They all met, and there was a crusade that took place for thousands of people. We didn't know that because we had previously planned to be in another city. So anyway, a crusade takes place in the city where we stay, and the next Monday, because a lot of the pastors that came to help with this particular crusade stayed, and they stayed close by the hotel where we actually stay. And there was going to be a meeting for all the ministers locally. And so Dr. Sawada, who did the actual ministry and preaching at this crusade, met with these leaders. We did not even know this meeting was taking place on this Monday morning. Grace and I are in there eating breakfast. We find out that there's a meeting of ministers. And they found out that we were the missionaries visiting from the United States and asked us to come. And we're like, okay, well, this is like a business meeting. And we're like, they've asked us to come to the business meeting. So we went in the business meeting, escorted us to the front, and sat us with a personal interpreter so that we'd understand what was being discussed. So we sat here at a local business meeting with the pastors and one of the most famous ministers in Uganda. So after their business meeting, they asked me about my opinion about what was being said. And I said, wow, okay. Well, if you want me to comment, I know it's only going to be short. And I said, Lord, what would you have me to say? Because I had a feeling we were going to be called upon. They were discussing this issue, how the president and the government was going to crack down on pastors in Uganda because of not having proper education and credentialing in order to truly be a pastor, because many people become born again and they feel maybe about 3 or 4 months into being born again that they're called and will start calling themselves a pastor or some fivefold ministry. And without proper training, without, you know, having someone to mentor them. And so much of this has gone on that now people are popping up calling themselves pastors and not even having a congregation and being not really true to the call. And they were discussing that, and I said, realizing it's a risk, every time you get up, you're not so sure exactly how you're going to be received. And I said, I believe that this is something good. Many of you might not agree, but I believe it is something good because God uses government at times to help us and to guide us and to protect us. Now, this doesn't mean that government was going to control what pastors were saying. This didn't mean that government was going to come in and force themselves. All it was a check and balance system to make sure that if you are truly a pastor, that you do indeed have a congregation and that you're not just calling yourself something that you've not really been trained for. And so it was a real learning time, but yet they asked for my opinion, and I said, well, I'm going to give you my opinion. You might not really like everything I say, but sometimes government is used for our good. It's not always a bad thing. Because right. What we experience here sometimes and look at our government and go, no, I'm not so sure, it's the same everywhere else in the world as well, unless you have a dictator that's really dictating things. So that was an amazing event that we got to participate in, and that particular doctor said that he'd wanted us to come and meet him in his office in a few days later. So we had opportunity from days after that to go and sit with him in his office. He owns a TV station, a radio station, and he is a very influential pastor that, again, the government, the president of Uganda, calls on for spiritual advice. Mm-hmm. And so in his office, this is an amazing thing that took place. Of course, Grace and I were there along with our Ugandan son, Valentino, and a few others. And we're sitting in the office and we're having discussion, mainly myself and Dr. Joseph. And, you know, you're always trying to find a place of commonality. Well, it just so happens that as we begin to speak, he said that he does come to the United States occasionally and that he goes and visits two cities, Dallas, and he goes to Boston. Well, I have a friend that lives in Boston, and it just so happens that my friend attends a church that is pastored by a Ugandan up in Boston. And his name is Keith Jones. Some of you might know Keith Jones from our days back at Word of Faith. He's about a 6'8" young man that is now about 63 years old, who actually taught me in the Bible college. Just so happens that he lives in Boston. Well, I talked to, and speaking with Dr. Joseph here in Uganda, I said, you go to Boston. I said, do you know so-and-so church there? And he says, yes, that's one of my church plants in the United States. Well, long story short, I said, do you know a man by the name of Keith Jones? He goes, yes, I know Keith Jones, the tall white, the tall Mazungu. Isn't it amazing?
Do you know
the commonality and how that we visit this man and that we know someone that just so happens to actually, and he actually, Keith, went to Uganda and preached as well years and years ago. Yeah. So little things like this take place while we're there that are so meaningful. I call them God winks. Yeah. These little winks that God's like, hey, I've got you. And you're going into a group of people you don't even know and saying things that you're being led by us to say. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to give you a couple of winks as you go. I'm going to let you know that you're in the right place for this time. Yeah. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
So that was another amazing thing that took place. I can go with another one if you want. Yeah. You got another one?
I want to say something about the school. What was also important about that whole testimony that he just gave too is that last year, when we were there on that trip, we were asked to begin to try to begin to help to train pastors and equip them for ministry because they can't afford the Bible schools that are there. They can't afford them. And so Pastor Sam said, please be praying about what you can do to help us train our pastors in a less expensive way. But he said, at that time, they knew that some of this was going to begin to happen with the government. So when we're in the meeting and that's what they're discussing, we already knew about this subject matter, not completely, but we were acquainted with the subject matter. And we were able to let them know that, hey, we've been praying about this for a year and we're working on some things. We actually, that was something else, we actually have a first step. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Well, we live by that. We live by that because we're just people who have said yes to God. That's it. And that's a message for everyone out here to be encouraged. It's all about availability. It's not about your credentials and who you are and what gifts he's given you. It's about availability. That when God says, will you go, will you do, will you say, the answer is, yes, Lord, I'm here, okay? And then he does through you, in you and through you, what you cannot do on your own. And here's what we have in the works that you can pray. But we are working on a program, and the very first step is simply to help them learn the word, to get some word in them. And Dave talked with Pastor Charles Green, who's in his 90s now. You know, he used to pastor Word of Faith in New Orleans. He had written a nine-month study called God's Covenants. And it's a nine-month study, takes you from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's a basic foundation of the Scriptures. So Dave talked with Pastor Green, and Pastor Green gave permission for us to use it in Uganda and to have it translated into Lugandan. So that is now currently in the works. And that'll be a first step for these young men and ladies who are coming to Christ, who feel called into ministry. They can do a nine-month study of the Word.
Yes.
And it won't cost hardly anything, because we're not going to bind the book. It's going to be done more like a loose leaf in a three-ring binder, which is going to be a lot cheaper for them. It'll accommodate their needs.
What we learn about as we travel in Uganda is that there are people spiritually ready to receive us when we go, so that we can have a team. This year, we were well prepared. We had a team of 35 people go before us into the villages and to knock on doors or whatever you call your door in your village. And they would go before our conferences and before our nightly crusades, and they would invite people to come to Jesus Christ. Many salvations took place just by door-to-door evangelism. But then in their evangelism, they would invite people to come. They went with sacks of sugar and rice and soap. Those are the items that we purchased in order for them to go and give to people. Needed items, practical items to help people in the villages. And so this team, we couldn't stop thanking them for what they did for us. All this involves funds, and thank the Lord, all the funds came in to feed everyone, to be able to purchase the items that were needed for evangelism. Wow, for new equipment, speakers, lights, things that we didn't have the last few years that now we do have. People donated clothes for the young children at the orphanage. Wow, we went in with several suitcases of just jackets that were donated, because whenever we go, we always bring something to the orphanage, whether it be... It's usually clothing items. So all that was taken care of as well. So amazing things have taken place again in 2019. And you might say, well, how did this all occur? Well, first of all, God has a call on our lives for Africa. And secondly, about 17 years ago when I was living in North Carolina, here's another wink. Y'all want another God wink? While in North Carolina, a Ugandan pastor came and visited the church that I attended, and his name was Jackson Sinyonga, a young man, but very humorous. This guy was one of the funniest preachers I've ever seen, and he just so happened to be from Uganda and spoke with a strong accent. Well, God had been dealing with me about Africa 17 years ago, and he brought another person to remind me that he was calling me to do this work. And I thought, wow, this guy is amazing. He's a short in stature man, but powerful, and operated in the gifts of the Spirit with healings and such. Well, I got to meet him all those years ago. Wow, somebody's knocking at the door. And what took place was that I knew that God was saying, get ready, because this is going to happen one day. Well, that took place all those years ago. While in Uganda, I thought, wouldn't it be nice to meet up with this pastor that visited all those years ago? Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to? And so after our conferences and crusades, we had a little time to do some visits. And we were able to locate him. He was another pastor who God had favored and blessed. And now he has a congregation of, I don't know how many thousands of people. So this man was speaking when we came on a weekday.
We were on our way to the airport.
On our way to the airport.
Our Valentino surprised us with a visit there.
We didn't,
you
right.
You can't come and not see him when he inspired you to come here
in
so
the first
many
place.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm. So we arrived at his church. We arrived to hear him speaking in the middle of the day on a Wednesday or whenever it was the day, because they have services in the middle of the day at times. So we spoke to one of the people in the office. One of the people in the office was able to actually get to him up on the stage before he finished his sermon. Actually, when he did finish his sermon, we were standing and waiting in an area where he would come. And so we were able to actually stand there and meet this man, Jackson Sinyonga, and to be able to say, for me to be able to tell him, you came to a church in North Carolina 17 years ago. You are a confirmation that I should come to this nation. And it is wonderful and a blessing to stand here and meet you. I didn't know what kind of day he was having. He may have been having a hard day after preaching. But it was wonderful to be able to stand in the presence of a man who inspired me and to give testimony. We're not so sure as to all these meetings that we've been having, what fruit is going to come with these leaders. Yeah. But yet, we get to go into the most remotest of villages with people that don't even know who we are or know what's taking place and share Christ. Mm-hmm. Because that's simply stated. It's all about Christ.
All about Him.
Amen.
That's right.
Remember the last night, the last time
with Valentino. Yeah. So we'll try to condense some things because we could go on. We had 30 days there of supernatural happenings every day. If you're willing to look beyond and say something's a coincidence.
Right.
And you know that it's God's fingerprint on it. And so I'll give you a recap with Valentino because it ties in with another testimony. But most of you that heard us other times when we've come here, you know that the very first person we led to Christ was our driver, and his name is Valentino. A lot has happened in Valentino's life since he came to Christ. You know, after the honeymoon time is over with Christ, how comes the trials and tribulations. And he has been through tremendous trials and tribulations, but he has come forth victorious every time, and he is growing in Christ. Favor of God is on him. And I think he's finally beginning to see that the favor of God is on him. Well, he's no longer in Dubai. Some of you might remember that the Lord had opened a job in Dubai. Well, he's back in Uganda. That's a long story, but he's back in Uganda. And what you don't know is that all the salvations that are coming now from him, because he led his brother to Christ while we were there the first time. Well, then he's very close to his parents, to his father especially. Last year, about a year and a half ago, he called us up, and the father had become very extremely ill. And out of desperation, seeking a healing, he had gone to a witch doctor. And Valentino was, he knew it was wrong. Valentino knew it was wrong. And he called us up. He really was crying. Help me with my father. I don't know what to do. So we said, okay, Valentino, we're going to fast and pray, first of all. And then we're going to get God's mind on how to handle this. So we fasted and we prayed, Valentino, along with Dave and I. And the Lord told us to write a letter to his father, explaining what the scriptures have to say about dappling in witchcraft and things that can bring in the demonic. So we wrote a long letter with all the scripture references and pleading with him to renounce this, because the witch doctor told him to build a shrine, and he built a shrine on his property where he would do these, I guess, sacrifices and rituals. And so we had written the letter. And after many months, his father told him to call us. And he said, I'm ready to receive Christ, because we had explained to him, renounce this. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord with your healing. If he heals you, fine. If he doesn't, but you trust him and renounce this and close this. He was willing to do that. He made the right decision. Yeah. And so last year when we went, he had waited. He wanted us to be there and baptize him. So last year, he officially, in public, gave his life to Christ, and we were able to baptize him along with 9 other people that day. During the year, his health kept getting worse. Now, I want to show you how God works, though. His health got worse and worse, and then they diagnosed him with cancer, stomach cancer, colon cancer, and he needed surgery, but they don't have insurance. You know, there, what are you going to do? If you don't have the money, you don't get the surgery, and so we prayed about it, and we sent the money for his surgery, and he had the surgery, and here's the testimony. We're all thinking, I was concerned, oh God, what's he going to think? If you would heal him miraculously, this would be really wonderful. You know, he gave his life to you. He renounced the work of the enemy. When we arrived last year, he had already torn down the shrine and sold the property. He didn't even want the property anymore. He wanted to be done with it. Yeah. And he had called in all of his family, because that's how they do things in Africa, and told them, I'm going to tear down that shrine and I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. And he said, you all can make your decision of what you want to do, but I'm going to be born again. Okay? So now he had already done that, and I'm thinking, oh, the great end of the story would be a divine healing. But God has other plans. So we found out later that while he was, you know, in Uganda, they don't have enough beds to go around. So I've got photos of patients lying outside on the concrete waiting to get a bed to get what they need, okay? That's what it's like there. He went in, he got a bed, within 2 days had his surgery. That's unheard of too. So he's fresh out of surgery, and the people in his ward, because it's a big ward, they're asking him, how did this happen? We've been here for weeks, and we're still laying on this bed waiting for our surgery. And he said, oh, it's easy. He said, see, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm born again now. And then he was witnessing to them and told Valentino. Valentino said, send me pictures of his baptism. We didn't know why. So on the phone, we're sending pictures of his baptism. It's because his father was going throughout the ward showing everybody how he got baptized in Jesus' name. So you see, you just don't know what God's doing with everything. And now he's doing good. You saw the picture. He looks healthy. And so now the mother is praying about coming to Christ. Two nights before we left, Valentino showed up at the hotel late at night, and he says, Mom and Dad, you need to get dressed. I've invited more family members over here. And we said, how many? He goes, about 20, 25. And we said, what do you want us to do with your family members? He said, I want you to tell them about Jesus and that they need to be born again. So we said, okay. So he left out. We hurried up, got dressed. We went out there. Now, 20 to 25 didn't come because some of them, as they were walking, they saw the Bible laying on the table and they exited and went the other way. But three stayed, and Dave got to share a story with them and then tell them the gospel message. Two of the young men received Christ, and then the next morning when we went to breakfast, one of the men had stayed. He didn't want to leave the area, so he had stayed there. He's at the table wanting, just hungry to learn more, brought his wife. So while Dave was talking to him, I asked the wife, did your husband share with you what happened last night? And she's, yes. And then I could tell. It was like the Lord led it. So then his wife received Christ that morning. This is the way the trip went. So here's the summary. Through the 30 days, 102 people came to salvation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we've started a discipleship program there. I had written a little discipleship series, about like 8 lessons, a while back, and they liked it. And so it's been translated into Lugandan, and they're going to be using that with their new converts. And so we were amazed at what God did. You know, we went from 3 years ago just arriving on the soil and just having a bunch of stuff to bring to the orphanage, but we knew God was going to grow things. But, you know, here we were this time with a stage and lights and sound equipment, everything we need to to proclaim the gospel in a greater way, in a better way. Because last year we preached on that stage that we bought, but we had one solar light bulb. So it was very difficult. You couldn't see the crowd that you were ministering to. You couldn't hardly see anything to even walk up on the stage. Now we have, was it LED lights?
Yeah,
we got
LED lights.
So God is growing it, and that's just the little, that's just little stuff, but it's important stuff. So we have pastors training. You know, we did marriage conference, a couples night. We did a two-day evangelistic workshop, two conferences and crusades, which were three-night crusades, two-day conferences. They're never in a hurry. You saw the crusades. Did you see they were standing? No chairs. They'll stand. They'll come there at 6. It'll go through to, what, about 9 o'clock at night? They stand the whole time. Just stand the whole time. It's amazing. It's amazing. You wonder, well, why does God move in such a way in Africa and not here? That midweek service that Dave told you about, it's in the midday. It's like at noontime. They have it every day at these big churches in the capital city. Do you know how many people were at that service? 1,000 people.
Wow.
And I said, I'm looking all around, and I said, Pastor Sam, don't these people have to work? What are they doing in the middle of the day at this service? He said, they give up their lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I said, is it like this every day? Every day. Every day. They are hungry. They're hungry. They mean business. Those churches have all-night prayer meetings with a lot of people who give up. They'll come there all night and pray. So the church is open 24/7, and they are experiencing revival.
And you may say, well, why do we go and do this? Well, first of all, it's because God says to go. That's why. He put it on Grace and I to go. And what we pray as we go is that we receive what we're supposed to receive, but also give what we're supposed to give. A lot of times we feel like we get more than what we give. And spiritually, we do.
Yes.
Now, we may bring material goods and those type things, which help very much. And so I see what, as we're standing here even now, I see what God's doing. He's saying, bring back the message to the United States, what you're experiencing over there.
Yes.
Bring back some fire.
Come on.
Yes. As to what you're experiencing there, back here. Because we need the fire. We need the fire back here, back home. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Grace is going to finish up with Psalm 33.
Yes. I was reading this last week, and God just spoke to my heart because of everything that's going on, even in our own nation and around the world. But in our nation, as we're seeing the foundation's crumbling. The foundation is crumbling. We've removed God from the schools, from government, trying to remove him from everything, and we wonder why is the foundation crumbling. And when I read these scriptures in Psalm 33, I was so excited because it calls us back to remember just who God is and that he's a mighty God. None of this is catching him by surprise. None of it is. He's still on his throne.
Yes.
And in Uganda, they have a president over the political government, but they also have kings over the tribes. And the Bugandan tribe is the largest tribe, and they like to tell you it's also the strongest tribe. The Bugandan king, I want to tell you this because it ties in with this, is that the Bugandan king, when we were in the capital city, they showed us, you know how we have turnarounds? We have a lot of turnarounds. We're beginning to get them in Slidell a lot. Well, they use a lot of turnarounds in Africa. And in the capital city was this turnaround that was very elegantly designed. It had iron gates around it. It had a beautiful archway of stone. And the iron gate that was around it had gates that you could open. So it was like a fence around it, but with gates. I'm thinking, what is that about, right? And so they explained to us, the Bugandan king, when he rides with his motorcade through the streets, he does not go on the turnaround. He goes through the archway. Why? Because they believe that a king never turns around. And when I read these scriptures, I told Dave, the Lord began to show me, our king never turns around. He never backs up. We serve a king. He is the creator of the world. That song that we put to that video, it was in Lugandan, and it said, Sensei Katonda. Sensei Katonda. Katonda is the name of God. And they told us that years ago, before the gospel message was brought to them, they worshipped all kinds of gods. Their one of their gods was called Tonda, T-O-N-D-A, Tonda. And that was the God that they believed creates. Okay? But when the gospel message came to them, they realized that there is one God, and he is the creator God. So they put the word, they put K-A on the front of it. And now God, the one true God, is called Katonda. So the song, and actually that is the worship leader at the church we go to that was singing that, is called Sensei Katonda. It means worship God. Worship God. And so our God sits on the throne. He is a mighty king. If a Bugandan earthly king knows that he has the authority and he does not turn around, he goes through, and he's always advancing, never backing up, do you think our mighty God backs up? I don't believe he backs up. And I don't believe he goes around. He goes through. And he takes us through. He takes us through the trials and tribulations. He takes us through. And so, Katonda God, this is encouraging to me. So I'm going to read Psalm 33. I'm beginning with verse 8. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. When we listen to our news every day, it can be very upsetting. We hear people coming against everything that we know is right and good and pure and holy. But they're not going to get the upper hand. It said, he makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually, he considers all their works. And then look at 16 and 17, because we hear of wars and rumors of wars, and we see nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. The night news can be very scary if you don't know Christ, and if you don't know that our God is still on the throne, and because he's a king, he rules and he reigns. He rules and he reigns. So it says, verse 16, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And then lastly, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. He is a mighty God. He's still at work in the earth. He's still moving. And he's calling you and me as his army to arise and do the work that only an army can do. Only an army can come in. It is a military term when he says, occupy until I come. And I don't have a military background, but I had a little message one time called Reveille, means wake up. Wake up. And one of the military men that was out there came to me and told me that, and many of you probably already know this, I'll remind you, that in the United States, when we want to conquer a land, we send in the Marines first. The Marines go in and they take it. They get on, they take the land, but they don't stay there. The army comes in and occupies the land. It's the army that occupies. So we have a king who already came. Jesus Christ came. He conquered sin and death. He conquered the enemy. And now we are the army of the Lord. He said, occupy until I come. He hasn't pulled his troops out yet. So we have to continue to occupy and be busy about the king's business. And we have to not get sidetracked, because that is something that we see that is different between Africa and the United States of America. We are too blessed here, too blessed. And because we're so blessed, we have distractions morning, noon, and night that distract us from the real work of the kingdom, because we forget this isn't our home. This is not our kingdom. We're not staying here. We're just occupying. We belong to a heavenly kingdom. And that's why this place is called a sanctuary. Because a sanctuary is a place where when you're in a foreign land, it's like an embassy. You go there for protection. When I get behind the embassy walls, I'm protected. Why? Because I'm not a citizen of that country that I'm visiting. I'm a citizen of another country. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Our churches are called sanctuaries. It's just a place where we come. It's our safe place. Everybody wants a safe place nowadays, a happy place. And I know on universities they talk about prayer as their safe place. This is our safe place in the presence of the Lord, not just the building itself, but in the presence of the Lord. That's our safe place. And so God has provided everything we need. When he said we're soldiers and we're the army of the Lord, he provided our weapons of warfare. Hallelujah. He provided everything we need. And so we go in, we stake the claim. That was another thing for our pastor's conference. They were so excited. God moved in our pastor's conference. We encouraged them. We spoke to them about their authority in Christ. God's given you authority over Slidell. You are a spiritual authority, spiritual jurisdiction. Claim the land. Claim it. Go in and take it for Christ. Don't back up. We don't back up. Our king doesn't back up. We advance. The only thing we do is what God told Dave a few years ago. Advance and rest. Advance and rest. Advance and rest. That's what we do as Christians. So praise God. Thank you for everything. Thank you. We always know you're behind us. We cannot do what we do without your prayers and your financial support. But your prayers are so important. Your prayers can't be bought. That's invaluable. And when we're out there, we feel your prayers. Dave and I'll say, we know people are praying because we're just kind of like floating on the wings of prayer. And you know, whatever direction God points us in, that's what we do. And he comes through. So thank you. 102 souls saved for Christ because you prayed and because you gave. Thank you.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you guys so much. Wow, I'm so glad you came today and shared your story. And I love your message. Oh, that was great. In the back. You know, we have our box that we put our tithes and offerings in to support the church. Next to it is a basket which says love offering. I'd like you to give as generously as the Lord leads you. Everything you put in that basket will go to David and Grace. If you want to make out a check, make it out to the Beginning's Church, and then we'll write one check to give to them that they can go ahead and use as you see fit in the ministry, okay? If you want to eat supper with it, great. You want to buy supper for somebody, whatever you want to do, it's yours. No strings attached, okay? As you want to use it. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing like hearing missionaries talk, I'm telling you. This fires you up. Woo! Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these two warriors. Thank you for their lives. Thank you that they've given themselves to each other. But before that and through that, they've given themselves to you, that you might use them. Father is using the Grace's illustration, Lord. I think they fulfill two roles as the Marines who go in and cut out the land and drive the enemy out. And they're doing this, Lord. 102 souls have been delivered from evil and death. The scripture said that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but in Christ you've been made alive. And they've done that. They've given life to those who are in hopelessness. They're giving the truth of the gospel that people might see there is a better way. There's hope in the midst of abject poverty and ungodliness that takes place. So, Father, I ask you to continue to use these two folks. Keep your hand of mercy upon them. Continue to put them with the right people at the right time, that they'll be fully equipped to do the work that you've called them to do. And, Father, let them leave behind an occupying army that will occupy the land, and the people there would be safe because the army of the Lord watches over them. Father, thank you for David and Grace. Keep them safe. Use them as you see fit. Father, watch over each of us as we leave this place, leave this building. Let us leave with a new energy and a new hope. And particularly this Christmas season, let us bring the message of Christ to the world, to Slidell, to St. Tammany, to our family, to all those that we know and love, and those that strangers that we'll meet along the way. Let us be like missionaries to our own community and come back and say, yes, we've spoke the gospel to someone, to a man, to a woman, to a boy, to a girl, to a family. We thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all the children said, amen, amen. Amen.